everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Now, the beginning of the school year is often a challenging time for both parents and children. But this time of the year is even more difficult for the almost 22 million parents, and I said million listeners in the United States alone, who battle parental alienation. Now, parental alienation is where one parent damages, destroys, or severs the relationship between a child and the other parent. And these parents are silenced by the law, compromised, and treated as the lesser parent. So today's program is all about how to counter and manage the toxicity of parental alienation through school and extracurricular activities. My guest today is Elena Bondareva. She is a dual graduate of Cornell University with a track record of transformative innovation around persistent ethical dilemmas and violations for human rights. She has held public, private, and teaching roles in Australia, New Zealand, Russia, South Africa, and India. Now, Elena is on the board of directors of Simply Parent, a nonprofit organization dedicated to forging a society where children have access to all of their loving parents and extended families. And you can learn more about Simply Parent and parental alienation at simplyparent.org. And again, listeners, that's simplyparent.org. So welcome to the program, Elena. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me. My pleasure.
Oh, tell us then, Elena, a little bit about your background and why you got involved with the nonprofit organization Simply Parent.
My background really has been, I've done a number of different things, as you've briefly mentioned, geographically quite dispersed. And the theme in all of my work really has been looking at transformational change. I grew up in Russia during the time of the Soviet regime collapse, and it was incredibly stressful, and it was what they call shock therapy. Mm-hmm. And it got me passionate, really, around better ways to do change. And I went into Cornell and did my research and my studies, really trying to look at, you know, there are ways that we as society do change that actually works. It doesn't leave a whole bunch of suffering in its wake. And then sometimes we don't. And it got me passionate about that, right? It got me passionate about, you know, how come we can eradicate a whole bunch of social ills and address drunk driving and, you know, call family violence for what it is, and kind of got me passionate about doing the same thing with other problems. So that's kind of what I've done around ethics and sustainability and things for a long time. And with parental alienation, it was a little bit by accident because I became a step parent in a situation where parental alienation was running rampant. And as probably everybody in this situation, I found myself completely unprepared. Right. You know, first of all, also as a step parent, you know, you don't have all of the time that an individual might have if they kind of get a kid from scratch, so to speak, right? You know, you don't step into this with time to figure out, well, you know, are we ready for one child or two children and what are we going to name them and how are we going to school them? You sort of make one choice, and that is to give a go at a relationship, romantic relationship, and next thing you know, you have a choice of whether to be kind of just somebody's girlfriend or whether to become a step-parent, which is the choice I made. And as part of all of that, navigating a really difficult situation, became very aware of how ridiculous, unbelievable, almost science fiction-y parental alienation is, how difficult it is to believe that something this ridiculous can be happening. And then, of course, the science, the studies, the experiences of other people, and then realizing that, you know, for me, I saw this very much as the next social justice frontier. if that makes sense. And that's how it's
absolutely
connected.
Elaine, absolutely. So what you're saying is that parental alienation can affect a lot of people. It can affect that one parent who's getting alienated. It can affect the children and the lack of access to that other parent. But also as a step parent, it's experiencing that trauma as well. So as a step parent, then, what's it like experiencing that alienation for you?
Look, you know, without, you know, sounding dramatic, hopefully, but devastating. And you always feel kind of on the back foot. And I think there's a lot of second guessing of yourself, because I think, you know, most normal people would wonder, am I doing something wrong? Am I getting something wrong? But I can give you, right, you know, one example of, you know, years in. I think I'd already been with my kids for 4 years or something, and it's winter, and my partner isn't feeling well, and it's time to take them back to their other house. And so we get in the car, and these kids, by that stage, almost teenagers, look at my partner and say, is it okay if Elena's driving us? Like, should she not be driving us? Mm-hmm. And the reason I use that example is because it's snow, right? Like, I would think if I don't have to get out of the house and somebody is going to deliver my kids to me,
right?
Fantastic, right? And yet these kids genuinely have fear and anxiety on their face, because they've been told and positioned that, you know, I don't even know. Look, this is where, you know, I think we'll lose it, because I don't even know what children need to feel so scared and anxious about an adult with a driver's license driving them over to their house, right?
Right. And that's such a simple gesture, right? When you think about it, you're merely driving the kids home to the other parent's house. But yet the kids have been, and I'll put this in quotes, brainwashed by the other parent to feel like you as a step parent are something that can't drive the children home.
Yeah, something threatening, something anxiety-provoking, right? And I think a lot of parental alienation, and this is, you know, to the experience, I think shame is at the core of it for me. Mm. And again, that's my, you know, understanding of it. But I think that a lot of the damage of this really toxic thing is done through shame, because kids effectively grow up second-guessing themselves and going, okay, I have this good experience with this person. We just had a terrific weekend or a week. I think it was winter holidays. And yet I know that when the other family finds out that we were driven home not by our original parent, but by Elena, I don't know, we will be looked at funny. We will be made feel like maybe we weren't safe. We will be made feel like we were somehow maybe abandoned by other parent. All of that is usually nonverbal in my experience. Mm-hmm. But I think it's the feeling around shame. And I think that is when you say about the broader impact of parental alienation, I believe that shame drives that, because what we're creating then is adults that lack self-trust, that doubt their own self-agency, that wonder if their experiences are accurate enough. We know that as they grow up, they end up in statistically more significant proportion of abusive relationships. They have all sorts of other problems, including addiction, underperformance, and all of the rest, because shame is not something that children are supposed to feel like that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you, really what that other parent is doing is putting the child in the middle and then feeling that guilt or shame. And we know research also shows, Elena, that when children have access to both parents and have high quality parent-child relationships with both parents, including step-parents or step-partners, that child feels better about themselves, does better in school, and as you said, chooses partners themselves, which are better and more healthy for them. Mm-hmm. So when we know all that research, Elena, you know, why is it, do you think, that many people have a difficult time understanding parental alienation, what it means, and that it occurs? Why do you think that is?
That's the million-dollar question, right? Or 22 million right. people question. Look, I think that in order to answer that, I think it's worth remembering that parental alienation is a form of child abuse, and it's a form of domestic violence. And as a result, part of the answer is, why do people have a hard time understanding abuse, right? Mm-hmm. And I think there's a number of reasons to that. it is sly and it is hard to put your finger on, right? And I think that goes for any form of abuse and violence. You know, you, I'm sure, have helped people even understand something like Stockholm syndrome, right? When individuals become overly attached and protective of people who actually treat them badly. So first, it's really sly and it's hard to put your finger on. And it leads to the second part of the explanation. I think there's a lot of cultural misunderstandings. And culturally, parental alienation has actually been okay. And that's one of the reasons that I got involved with Simply Parent, is to help us as society see that we can actually make it not okay. Because otherwise, it's no different to how men used to share at a pub why they kind of bash their wives around a little bit if they defy them, right? Or why women will say, well, he's just no good because he works too much and therefore, you know, I'm leaving him and I'm taking the kids. And as society, as long as we nod along to these things without questioning, without going, is it really okay for you to hit your wife because she didn't have dinner on the table for you, right? Is it really okay to pull your belt out and hit your kid? Is it really okay for you to pick up your kids and get in the car when I know you're drunk? Or do I do something about it, right? So I think another reason this is so difficult to believe is this is still part of our narrative, right? It's okay. I read a lot and I'm not going to give the titles, but some of the best-selling books of last year have parental alienations run through them, right? One is this amazing woman who her husband, in that case, cheats on her, and she realizes, look, he's a bad man for me. But immediate reaction is all of a sudden they're not our kids, they're my kids, and I'm taking them. He did not directly do anything to the kids, and they had all sorts of problems maritally, right? But I think that that's when you ask me why do people have such a hard time with it, is because it is part of our cultural narrative still. We actually have not moved as far as I think we would like to think in treating kids as property.
So what you're saying then, Elena, is that all of us, whether we're experiencing and living with parental alienation or not, can be a part of stopping this situation. So listeners out there who are not experiencing parental alienation can still be part of a solution. And that's what Simply Parent is about. What are the resources and goals of Simply Parent? And then I've got to get to the topic as well. There's so much to talk about, but that we're here to talk about today. But what are the goals of Simply Parent? And what are the resources of Simply Parent that we can all be a part of?
Simply Parent now has a global advisory board spanning Israel and Australia and Canada. And the goal is to build effectively an international campaign that can take parental alienation to and beyond the tipping point. What we mean by that is, like Mothers Against Drunk Driving was a fundamentally successful movement in no longer making it okay for people to just get in the car drunk. And like you say, for sharing the responsibility with all of us to say, if you see it, stop it. And Simply Parent is very much intends to learn from all of these successful transformations, the Me Too movement, you name it, there's been a lot of what we've achieved successfully, and to do this around parental alienation. So that the ultimate goal, like you said earlier, that good parenting can be protected, that because kids deserve that. It's actually their basic human right. U.S., unfortunately, is not a signatory to the U.N. Convention on the Rights of the Child. But in Europe and in many other countries, that is actually what drives a lot of debate around parental alienation, is the kids' basic right to know their roots and to be loved and to be free from suffering. The resources available are parent speak meetings, which effectively are support meetings that anybody around the country can pick up a hand, put up their hand, and we'll give you host back, and you can host that and create a safe space for parents grappling with this to get together. We publish a magazine, both digital and starting to publish in print. You can get involved in policy advocacy, in education development, all sorts. And we pretty much have a number of organizations in this space, in the domestic violence space, in the parental alienation space, fathers groups, all being brought together under this bigger tent to focus on what we have in common versus what might divide us on minutia so that we can drive change.
Absolutely great. And now I see the connection between you and your history or your background in dealing with change in many different ways and Simply Parent, because Simply Parent is focused on change and making this world a better place for kids, parents, and all of the extended families. Now, let's get to the topic, Elena. If people are out there and they are alienated parents and they're experiencing or living with a situation, or even, as you said, step parents dealing, living with parental alienation, and the school year is starting and they're experiencing that toxicity of or trying to manage the situation, what do you think they can do or how can they counter the toxicity at this time of the year? What are some tricks, tips, or strategies to help them?
Sure. So first one is acknowledging that these parents probably feel like they're a lesser parent. And that is part of that shame that we've talked about. And it chips away at you, and other people look at you funny going, well, maybe you did something to your kids if they kind of treat you disrespectfully or whatever. So firstly is acknowledging that. On the practical level, I would recommend going to the registrar's office, making sure that you are actually listed as a point of contact. Even when our kids were in the same school, we found that from May to September, my partner had been removed, right? So go to the registrar, make sure you're there. Make sure you have your correct email so that you receive all the communication from the school, so that you as an emergency contact, right? And if the registrar asks you to remove anybody else there, again, don't retaliate. The other family has the right to be there, right? The other step parent has the right to be there. And just insist that the school does not make you choose who to put and say, you can have four fields if that's what you need. Right.
Right. I love that. Right. The more, the merrier, right?
That's right.
That's what we don't understand. The more parents, step-parents, and others, grandparents there, even step-grandparents, the better for the child. Because in an emergency, especially if the kids are young, Elena, right, someone can check the child out from the school. So I love that practically. Sure. Acknowledge that you may be feeling like a lesser parent, but then go to the registrar, go to the principal's office, and make sure you're on all the lists.
Yes.
Excellent.
And, you know, and that's the irony, right? So how did we move away from it takes a village to raise a child, right? Like, why is it still around ownership, right? Like, I never competed for the role of mommy, right? I'm not an idiot.
Right.
But, you know, it's good for the kids to be loved. It's good for them that somebody like me as a step-parent is committed. Right? It shouldn't be a competitive situation. Kids know who they came out of. And, right? Like, so yes, I think competing less and very much encouraging and making sure that you're there. Go to their counselor, go to their coach, go to their music teacher. Make sure that they know you. And this takes me to my second point. It is good for the kids if people in their life know you and respect you. It validates their experience with you. If you are cowering about, if you're, you know, hiding in the hallways when an event is going on, it makes them feel more guilty for loving you. So make yourself known, introduce yourself, get to know people. And yes, the other family may make it very uncomfortable. We've even had our kids tell us, don't get involved, like, don't, stay away. And we just wouldn't do that because it's actually bad for them. It's bad for them to have the validation that we should stay away. So
and that's a really good strategy, but very difficult, Elena, you know, to go up to the coaches or, you know, I've talked to a lot of parental alienated parents who have a difficult time going to parent-teacher conferences because they feel lesser, because they feel that shame. But what you're saying, Elena, is go to the parent-teacher conferences, go to the activities, don't cower in the hallways, because then that perpetuates that feeling to the child as well. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, and it is hard. And I know on my skin that it is very hard, right? And,
oh,
and
I can feel it in my body how hard it may be,
right?
You know?
And look, and that's why sometimes you're like, I can't even bother going. Because if you're having a bad day, the last thing you know you want sometimes is to go into the space where you've already might, you know, and people sometimes will look at you funny because they've already heard things. Right, and that's why parental alienation is so toxic. It co-opts people. And back to our earlier point, make sure you're not co-opted by other people's toxicity, right? Like, for the sake of the child, just focus on the facts. And unless you have observed a parent hurt a child, don't just assume that everything you hear is right. Yeah, so that's probably a good rule of thumb. So yeah, sometimes it's very hard. And now that it's beginning of the year, that's one of the reasons, you know, we wanted to have this chat with you, is this is a good time to get on the ground. Don't wait until 3-4 months have passed of a sport or a music thing. Go introduce yourself from the beginning. Most teachers don't want to be in the middle of a conflict anyway. And find a way to position your family. Maybe what you say is, hi, I'm such and such. I am Amy's mom, and she's one of the lucky ones that has like four parents, right? So you'll probably hear this introduction a few times. This is how we all fit together. Introduce their other side's family by name, right? You will also meet such and such. You know, the reason I'm meeting you, dear coach, or whatever, is I also want to make your life easier and have you understand that we have two households. I want to make sure that my kid gets to every game, doesn't skip a beat. As a result, I need your help. I need you to send me everything directly so that there isn't this whole, the kid needs to be kid, and not worry about, you know, taking schedules between the two households. So make also sure that you're very much on the direct receiving end with the coaches, with the music teachers, with the doctors. Right.
I like that. Even with the doctors, right?
With the
dentists. And
with the doctors.
What you're saying, Elena, is go up and be direct. This child has two households. This child has two moms. Please help me, too, is a wonderful way of saying that. Please help me by communicating directly with me. That is super. So you've given us two strategies. We only have a few minutes left, believe it or not, Elena. Any other strategies that you can briefly tell us about as we experience the beginning of the school year?
I'd say self-care. I don't think there was enough said about it. Whenever you're in any situation of abuse or discrimination, which this may continue to be, self-care is really important. Know your story. Know your reasons for what it is that you do. Mm-hmm. Know that you're trying to be the best parent that you can, whether you are an alienated parent or an alienated step-parent or grandparent or whatever your role might be. And stand by your truth. And if you ever do something wrong, apologize to your kid. Don't let anybody else control your story. And, you know, again, just try to think from their perspective, because at the end of the day, they may not even want you at a recital. But the reality is they probably do deep down. Because ideally for the kid is that all of the people they love are witnessing their life. Right. And that's also for anybody in terms of not being co-opted into parental alienation. Try to think of the kids' world as an ecosystem where the more people love them, the more people have something to give to them, the better chance they have of becoming everything that they can. And try to acknowledge that rather than filtering everything from just the two original parent or the one original parent, and really kind of go, who is important in my kid's life? And what do I do to protect those bonds? It doesn't mean I share an infinite influence with every single teacher and you know, friend, parent, and whatnot, but it does mean honoring the fact that they have the right to love a whole bunch of people and establish relationships and learn from a whole bunch of people in their lives.
And that is super, Elena. I really like that. And I think listeners really need to understand that the more love a child gets, the more people in their lives that they are loved by, the better for the child. Well, I really appreciate you joining me today, Elena. What a pleasure talking to you. And I think your tips, especially the last one, self-care and knowing your reality and any stressful situation, it's important to remember self-care is so important for listeners. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And thank you to all your listeners for being part of this change we need to see.
We need to see change. Absolutely. And listeners, personally, I want to emphasize that we all need to get involved. And I can say honestly that I've been an advocate and supporter for research and organizations that help parents who are experiencing or living with alienation. And I know the research. Children are negatively affected when they can interact or have access to one of their parents or their step parents. And in my opinion, we must understand and talk more about parental alienation for the sake of our children and all the loving, caring adults who are deleted from their lives. And I should tell you, listeners, that because of my strong support for those experiencing parental alienation. I'm also on the advisory board of the nonprofit organization called Simply Parent, and you too can get involved. So if you're inspired by this program to learn more about Simply Parent, that organization, Elena, or parental alienation, go to simplyparent.org. And again, simplyparent.org. They're also on Facebook and Twitter at simplyparent.org. As always, listeners, thank you for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help your relationships be the best they can be. And my personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.